At least somebody got a rocket into space last night. A $100 hamburger ends up costing much more. And Homer Kolb has gone west. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 14th, 2009. We watched a successful launch into space last night. Unfortunately for NASA, it wasn't the Space Shuttle Endeavour.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's ignition.
T0, plus 1, plus 2, plus 3. We have liftoff of the SpaceX Falcon 1 carrying Rosicsat satellite for ATSB. Falcon 1 has cleared the tower.
SpaceX emerged from countdown holds totaling 1 hour to pull off a spectacular launch of a Falcon 1 rocket from its pad on Omelek Island, part of the Kwajalein Atoll in the Central Pacific. Sensational views from a live webcam looking back at Earth revealed a launch vehicle performing right on cue, lifting Malaysia's Rosicsat satellite into orbit. The last countdown hold was timed to allow a passage of a storm that covered the main launch platform camera with water droplets, and liftoff appeared straight and true despite winds gusting to 20 knots. No such luck for NASA. Nearby lightning, anvil clouds, and thunderstorms forced a fifth delay in the start of mission STS-127, scheduled to launch yesterday at 4:51 p.m. Eastern Time. NASA has now rescheduled for Wednesday at 6:03 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned. There's only a 60% chance the weather will cooperate at that time. Multiple sources are reporting that a Glass Air flying with a lunch group to St. Augustine, Florida, from Haller Airport in Clay County, went down in a wooded area, claiming 2 lives. Victims in the Saturday morning accident have been identified as pilot Mike Harris and passenger Pat Cummings, also a pilot. After the two didn't arrive at their destination, a search effort was mounted by 6 pilots from Haller. They found the wreckage in a wooded area near the St. Johns River, close to a new development called Rivertown in northeast Florida. FAA and NTSB will investigate. Find details and updates as they become available at aero-news.net. As of our deadline, a memorial service had yet to be announced for ultralight designer, pioneer, and manufacturer Homer Kolb. Aero News has learned the designer passed away at the age of 78. Originally from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, Kolb developed a number of highly regarded ultralight and experimental airframes, starting with the release of his first commercially successful designs in 1980. Hundreds of Kolb designs dating back to the 80s are thought to still be flying. Check back with us at the website for more when we know. Up next on ANN, the Baleet makes its first flight. Textron officially ends the Citation Columbus project. And NIMBYs lose another one in California. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 14th. I'm Paul Plack. Pilot and ultralight developer James Wiebe reports the first flight of his Baleet, a new Part 103 craft based on the venerable Kit Fox Light, on Saturday, July 4th. The Baleet is a single-place airplane that incorporates the use of proprietary, lightweight carbon fiber material in the fabrication of struts, ribs, and the wing spar. It provides the flight characteristics and handling of an airplane while making the weight limit to be flown as an ultralight. On his July 4th first flight, Wiebe observes, quote, "While the rest of the country was focused on celebrating independence, I was experiencing it. I have never flown in an airplane I built or on which I have designed critical structures before, so this definitely ranks among my most thrilling flying experiences," unquote. After an initial circuit of the pattern at Wichita's Colonel James M. Jabara Airport, Wiebe says he conducted additional flight and handling characteristics tests during a 90-minute session that included several takeoffs and landings. For the initial flight, the Baleet was powered by a 28-horsepower MZ-34 engine, weighed in at 245 pounds with a full VFR panel, and reached a top straight and level speed of 54 miles an hour. Plans call for a larger, more powerful engine in time for Oshkosh. In a move sure to disappoint residents of Wichita and position holders alike, Textron has filed paperwork with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which revealed the Citation Columbus project is being canceled for good. A mock-up of what would have been Cessna's largest business jet was on display at NBAA last year, and a special invitation-only walkthrough was offered to customers on the waiting list. As disappointed as these customers may be to get their deposits back and start shopping anew, economic development officials in Wichita have more reason to mope. The Wichita Business Journal reports Cessna was planning a $200 million complex that would have included a 600,000-square-foot assembly building at Cessna. The planes were expected to sell for about $27 million each. Wichita Mayor Carl Brewer found out when the paper reached him by phone at a National Association of Cities conference in Denver. Quote, "I'm disappointed. We believe this is part of the future for the city of Wichita. We're just really disappointed that it happened." Unquote. The FAA has ruled against an attempt by the city of Santa Monica, California, to ban Category C and D business aircraft from its airport. The city tried to enact the ban in 2008. The FAA said, in a 57-page opinion issued last week, that the ban would unjustly and unreasonably discriminate against certain aircraft, which in turn would violate commitments made by the city when it accepted federal funds for the airport. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin welcomed the decision. Quote, "Access to community airports is fundamental to the companies of all sizes that rely on business aviation to succeed, and we will continue working to preserve business aviation access to Santa Monica and other airports." Unquote. Still ahead, passengers smell smoke on board a 747. Continental pilots cautiously embrace the Star Alliance. And are unauthorized commercials really a legitimate security threat? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 14th. I'm Paul Plack. A British Airways 747 was evacuated at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport Friday when passengers detected the strong odor of smoke in the cabin of the aircraft while taxiing for departure to London. The airplane's emergency chutes were deployed in order to evacuate the 298 passengers on board. CNN is reporting that only a few suffered minor cuts and scrapes, although one person was taken to a nearby hospital complaining of shoulder pain. Firefighters used thermal imaging cameras to try to detect the source of the odor, but were unable to find anything definitive. Phoenix Fire Department spokeswoman Captain Shelley Jamison said the smoke could have been caused by electrical problems. BA said it was accommodating stranded passengers with hotel rooms, and the airline's engineers were looking at the aircraft to try to determine the cause of the problem. Continental pilots are applauding final approval by the U.S. Department of Transportation for Continental to transition from a SkyTeam carrier to participation in the Star Alliance with United and eight other airlines. But Captain Jay Pierce, union leader of the Continental pilots, warns that his members must share in the benefits. Quote, "We believe this is a positive step for our carrier, our customers, and our pilots. However, for the partnerships and joint ventures proposed under this plan to succeed, pilots at the affected carriers must play a key role. We will not support any plan that does not recognize our contribution or attempts to pit one carrier's pilots against another, unquote. The antitrust immunity requested by Continental and United attracted early enemies in Congress, but opposition faded amid warnings the industry could become another bailout candidate and a trade war ensue if further marketing alliances were suppressed. And finally, you may be aware of the recent introduction of new rules for all aircraft crossing the border between the U.S. and Canada. Well, now, at the request of the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Defense, FAA is working on airspace security measures for the Vancouver 2010 Winter Olympics and Paralympics Games in February and March of next year. There will be a TFR and matching NOTAM, but preliminary precautions have already been published. Among the activities which will be prohibited in the TFR are flight training, crop dusting, model rocketry, and banner towing. I understand the first three, but banner towing? Is this really a security threat? Or are they just clearing the airspace of anyone who would compete with official Olympic sponsors? By the way, this one goes out to all you banner towers who used to be able to fly over Disney World until 9/11 provided an excuse to clear the skies from unapproved commercial messages. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, listen in on the conversation I had over the weekend at Arlington with the event's executive director, Barbara Tolbert. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.